A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I knew their plot because the Lord informed me. At that time, you, O Lord, showed me their doings. Yet I, like a trusting lamb led to slaughter, had not realized that they were hatching plots against me. Let us destroy the tree in its vigor. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will be spoken no more. But you, O Lord of hosts, O just judge, searcher of mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, my God, in you I take refuge.
O Lord, my God, in you I take refuge.
O Lord, my God, in you I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and rescue me, lest I become like the lion's prey, to be torn to pieces with no one to rescue me.
O Lord, my God, in you I take refuge.
Do me justice, O Lord, because I am just, and because of the innocence that is mine. Let the malice of the wicked come to an end, but sustain the just, O searcher of heart and soul, O just God. A shield before me is God, who saves the upright of heart. A just judge is God, a God who punishes day by day.
O Lord, Lord, my God, in you I take refuge.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But others said, "The Christ will not come from Galilee, will he? Does not Scripture say that the Christ will be of David's family and come from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them even wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So the guards went to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, "Why did you not bring him in?" The guards answered, "Never before has anyone spoken like this man." So the Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed." Nicodemus, one of their members who had come to him earlier, said to them, Does our law condemn a man before it first hears him and finds out what he is doing? They answered and said to him, You are not from Galilee also, are you? See and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. Then each went to his own house. Verbum Domini. This past October, those who are organizing the Eucharistic Revival in the United States invited young people from the ages of 19 to 29 to apply to be perpetual pilgrims to accompany the procession of the Blessed Sacrament from the four ends of the United States. And this past Monday, the 24 who were selected, six for each route, were announced. And if you go to the eucharisticrevival.org website, you can see all 24 with a little bio of each of these young people, ages 19 to 29. So here's the map you can also find. It's an interactive map so that you can find out where the closest spot is going to be where the different pilgrimages are coming with the Eucharist. So there'll be a priest chaplain with each route, and six of these young people, perpetual pilgrims they call them, who are going to be accompanying each of these routes. And so you have the Elizabeth Ann Seton route, which starts in Connecticut, and it's going to go through some of the largest cities in the United States. The Marion route, which starts at the headwaters of the Mississippi River. All of them are making their way to Indianapolis. The St. Juan Diego route, which starts in Brownsville, Texas, just a few minutes from the border, and makes its way up here to Birmingham and then to the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament. And then the longest route, which is going to be starting at the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco and making its way all the way across the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains, not walking the entire route, but a lot of the route. They'll be walking, these young pilgrims, with the Blessed Sacrament, with a priest chaplain, 10 to 15 miles every day. And they will be stopping and having processions in different cities. So this is an interactive map you can find where you can zoom in, see exactly where they're going to be, the exact dates they're going to be there. And I encourage you to be part of the pilgrimage. It's going to begin on Pentecost Sunday weekend, May 17th through the 19th. And it's going to conclude with the Eucharistic Congress, the 10th Eucharistic Congress in the United States, on July 17th through the 21st. So 2 months, there's going to be this pilgrimage, wonderful event to entrust in a particular way the United States of America to our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament and asking him to bless all of our land, to assist us at this time. So I encourage you to get excited about this, you can take part in it. All of you are within driving range of one of these routes, and to participate in this Eucharistic pilgrimage as these 24 young people, ages 19 to 29, perpetual pilgrims will be doing. Well, just a couple of days ago, our own National Catholic Register interviewed five of those young people to talk about their own devotion to the Holy Eucharist and why they wanted to be a part of this. And that's what I'd like to begin with today, talking about their own testimonies, because we heard in today's gospel that here these guards had been sent to arrest Jesus. But they are so taken by his words, they just can't do it. No one ever spoke like this man. Does Jesus still speak in ways where we say, I've never heard words like that, that kind of power, that kind of impact on my own heart? Well, these young people, five of them that were interviewed for the Register, give testimony to that effect in their own lives, where they heard the Lord speaking to their hearts in the Blessed Sacrament. So a young lady by the name of Amirani, she's going to be part of the Seton Route, the Elizabeth Ann Seton Route, starting at Connecticut. It's going to be passing through Baltimore, the oldest cathedral in the United States. And she just finished her nursing schooling, and she had some time that was going to be available after she completed her studies. And she felt, she said, this tugging in her heart to spend time in adoration, and here was the perfect opportunity to do that. She was born in Acapulco, Mexico, but she's lived since the age of 7 in Philadelphia. But here's what she said about an experience she had as a teenager where they had a retreat with the Blessed Sacrament. And she said, I hope to bring similar experiences to those who are going to be participating along the route, the people that we meet along the route. She said, really, it just changed the whole trajectory of my life. Just that gaze of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And really, I was restored at that moment. And I sought the sacrament of reconciliation right after. And I haven't been the same since. I remember just the piercing gaze of our Lord. She said that she felt seen, loved, and redeemed for the first time in her life. That was her experience. I know the Lord wants to pour out, she said, a lot of graces on this pilgrimage to so many. And she said she'll have a front row seat to the graces the Lord wants to pour out. She'll be able to see the Lord working, as he will. I promise you, he will. In this act of devotion, this act of adoration, and inviting people to hear the Lord. No one ever spoke like that man. And no one still speaks like that man. And you'll encounter him in the Blessed Sacrament. She said, I have a front row seat to see what he's doing, the graces he wants to pour out. A young man on the Marion route, starting at the headwaters of the Mississippi River, again, will begin Pentecost Sunday weekend. Matthew Heidenreich, a native Ohioan. And he said that he began to have a greater devotion to our Eucharistic Lord at a Catholic summer camp where they had adoration. He wants to help others to also give permission to let the Lord do the same thing in their hearts. He said it was at that moment at that Catholic summer camp where he surrendered his heart, his life to the Lord. And he wants to help others to give the Lord permission to do the same thing in their hearts, opening up their hearts to receive what the Lord wants to give so freely. And to allow the witness of six young people sacrificing, if you will, their summers to be part of this pilgrimage. And it's not going to be just all, you know, roses along the way. There's going to be some rain, I'm sure, and hot sun and things to, and probably just getting tired after walking so many miles for so many days. But that's going to bear witness, too, to the reality of the Lord's real presence and to their love and the Eucharist that they've discovered. Another young man who's on the Marian route is a young man by the name of Kai Weiss from Germany, but he's doing graduate studies in Washington, D.C. And he said he came from an area in Germany that always had Eucharistic processions. He's happy to see this happening in the United States. But this is a beautiful thing he said. He said, in this contentious election year marked by division, this will allow us to profess a shared love for Jesus present in the Eucharist, a unifying moment that can bring healing to the country. No one ever spoke like this man. No politician, no person on earth ever spoke like this man. Then on the St. Junipero Serra route, which starts, the longest of the four routes, as I mentioned, starts with a dramatic procession across the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. So a young lady, Jayla Macau, who's a Georgia native and an undergraduate student, is going to be part of the six, one of the six, who's going to be a perpetual pilgrim. She's always longed to do Catholic missionary work. And she gave up, she said, an important internship that she might have done this summer because she wanted to be part of this. And she's just going to entrust this insecurity to the security of being in God, that he will, you know, that we can always trust that he will show us the way. Through Jesus in the Eucharist, she said, he actually desires to continue to seek out humanity and meet them exactly where they're at. So where are you at in your faith life? Are you far right now? Are you caught up in a web of sin or addiction or whatever might be going on in your life, or you're having just difficult time in your life? Where are you at? The Lord will meet you there, she says, wherever you're at. And you can encounter him. You can hear the one. No one ever spoke like this man. You can encounter him every day if you want, wherever there's a tabernacle with the Blessed Sacrament. On the St. Juan Diego route that's going to be passing through this area is Charlie McCullough is going to be one of the six. And he goes to Texas A&M. And he remembers an event that happened during his freshman year at Texas A&M. He said, I very vividly remember the spot in the church where I kneeled and prayed after receiving Holy Communion on a Wednesday evening mass. Something was entirely different from that moment forward. I realized in that moment that there was a place inside of me where the Lord rested. It was his home. And that was deeper than anything else that I've ever experienced in the world. From that moment, he said, I kept coming back to daily Mass, and I kept coming back to the Adoration Chapel. And just from there, it began, this relationship of deep love with Jesus Christ, all because I realized that he was already living in me, and I was just starting to get to know him because of the gift of the Holy Eucharist. So he too wants to help people encounter those small, seemingly insignificant interactions with Christ in the Eucharist that radically change everything. My hope for the pilgrimage is that every person that we encounter has something stir inside of them. And finally, the last one is a young woman who's also going to be on the Juan Diego route. She's from North Dakota. Shayla Elm is her name. She said she's excited to walk with other young adults who are on fire for the Lord. I've just known for a while that wherever my life will go, whatever my path is vocationally, wherever I'm going, the Eucharist will be at the center, period. Good words. And if we do that, we will remark like those guards. No one ever spoke like this man. I've never had this kind of a deep encounter as I've had with our Lord in the Eucharist. So dear people, this is a great time of grace. Let's pray even now that this is going to bear abundant fruit for our nation, for us as individuals, that it will bring down God's blessing upon our land, so much in need of it in these days, returning to the sanity of the gospel life, the way that God wants us to live, to love God, to love one another, and able to do so by the treasure that we will carry in the Holy Eucharist.